You are listening to the Pronk Pop Show, presented by Raymond Thomas Pronk, the People's Paladin Pronk, propagating faith, family, friends, freedom first. Broadcasted by Renaissance Radio, Radiating Reason, and KDUX Web Radio. Podcasted by ProncPops.wordpress.com and KDUX webradio.wordpress.com. You are listening to KDUX Web Radio, broadcasting live from Richland College in Dallas, Texas, with a voice of Richland College. My name is Raymond Thomas Pronk, the presenter of the Pronk Pop Show. Views expressed on this show are my own, unless otherwise stated, and do not reflect the opinion of KDUX Web Radio, Richland College, or the Dallas County Community College District. Welcome to the Pronk Pop Show. This is the Friday edition. I'm going to follow up on last night's show when I gave the show later than usual because we were waiting for the Ninth Circuit to give its opinion. I wasn't surprised at all. Maybe a little. I thought maybe it would be 2-3, but it wasn't. It was a unanimous decision. It wasn't signed. It doesn't have to be signed. Where do we go from here is sort of the question that's being raised. Ultimately, the president is going to win, and that needs to be understood. But the danger here is why this temporary restraining order is in place. People are traveling from those countries to the United States, assuming they have visas. And you only need one to engage in a terrorist act, and American people could die. I think we're losing sight of what's going on here. And if a Ninth Circuit wants to pay politics that already has the reputation of being the most liberal circuit in the United States, and for many years, the most overturned, it's now, I think, second most overturned circuit. And I have not read the 29 pages of the opinion, but people have. It's just wrong. I guess is the best way someone said it's just wrong, because they're giving a political opinion, not a legal opinion, but they can do what they want. And there's some, I'm not an attorney, and I say that up front. But the president has the authority to do this. That's not even a question. And that's what's, I think, very frustrating to the American people. Forget about the president for a minute. And I'm going to let the president read the relevant portions of the law, and I'm going to play that. I think it's something you should hear, because everyone, whether they agree with the policy or not, now, I agree with the policy. As a matter of fact, I would make it permanent. If you can't pass a vigorous, I don't like the word extreme, a vigorous vetting and background check, you're not coming to the United States, period. That should be the policy. And it shouldn't be a 90-day temporary. It should really apply to all countries where you have terrorism going on, widespread terrorism. I'm not talking about the United States or Europe. I'm talking about, let's be honest here, Syria, Iraq, and Yemen. That's where you're having the most serious, you have almost weekly, if not daily, terrorist attacks. And it's the religious sectarian wars going on between the Sunni Arabs and the Shia Persians. They hate each other guts, and they're killing each other. And the main victims here are in the Middle East. There are Muslims in the Middle East, and that's something you should not forget. We don't want them here. It's that simple. And that's the American people. The American people feel the same way. And like I said on the last show, God forbid there's a terrorist attack in the United States, why this temporary restraining order is in place, especially if it's in San Francisco or Washington. These three judges were not elected president of the United States, and I think they forgot about that, and they forgot about the Constitution, and they forgot about the law. They substituted their judgments for the president's, and I think that's outrageous. I think that's beyond the pale, and it's more than past time for Congress to rein rein in the judiciary. Will they do it? No. The Democrats won't do it, and certainly not the rollover Republicans that roll over every time the Democrats say so. The American people are losing patience with both political parties. And what has happened, really, for the last six years with the Democratic Party, it will happen to the Republican Party if the Republican Party doesn't get the let out and show some courage and start doing their jobs. And that means repealing Obamacare, that means tax reform, and that means supporting the president on this as well. And it's about time they address the problem with the judiciary, in particular the Ninth Circuit. But Ninth Circuit's not the only one. We have three co-equal branches, but we don't have one that dominates. The problem is the presidency under Republicans and Democrats has dominated the other two branches. I understand that. That's why the description is an imperial presidency. Well, we have an empire, and when you have an empire, you have an emperor. We don't call him an emperor yet. We still call him president, and that remains to be seen whether Donald Trump is truly a non-interventionist, which many got the impression he was, or he's a interventionist. I don't think he's an interventionist in the sense of the neoconservatives, because the American people don't want to build democracies around the world. Forget about that. We have enough problems in the United States that we have to confront. The biggest one being the fact that from a financial point of view, the United States is busted or broke. So I want to address where the American people are at on this vetting, where President Trump is going to go next, or possibilities. But first, I want you to hear the president. And for those that are new to the show, let me point out the way you listen to the Pronk Pop show is go to pronkpops.wordpress.com, and underneath my photograph, you will see links to the most recent shows, 60 to 80 shows. The reason I point out you go here to listen to the show, because most people listen to the show by podcast. They can either stream it or download it and listen to it at their convenience. And more importantly, I provide you a lot of additional information, because I always say, do your homework and make up your own mind. All I ask is you have an open mind and have the curiosity to look at information. It could be articles, it can be YouTube videos, cartoons, photographs. Now, I want to start off with playing what President Trump did. It was a meeting, I believe, of sheriffs, but just listen.
And I thought before I spoke about what we're really here to speak about, I would read something to you. Because you could be a lawyer, or you don't have to be a lawyer. If you were a good student in high school or a bad student in high school, you can understand this. And it's really incredible to me that we have a court case that's going on so long. As you know, in Boston, we won it with a highly respected judge and a very strong opinion. But now we're in an area that, let's just say, they are interpreting things differently than probably 100% of the people in this room. I'd like to almost know, does anybody disagree when I read this? But I'm going to read what's in dispute, what's in question. And you'll see this. It's INA 212F 8 USC 1182F. Suspension of entry or imposition of restrictions by the president. Okay, now, this isn't just me. This is for Obama, for Ronald Reagan, for the president. And this was done, very importantly, for security, something you people know more about than all of us. It was done for the security of our nation, the security of our citizens, so that people come in who aren't going to do us harm. And that's why it was done. And it couldn't have been written any more precisely. It's not like, oh, gee, we wish it were written better. It was written beautifully. So just listen. Here's what it says. This is what they're arguing. Whenever the president finds that the entry of any aliens, okay, the entry, of any aliens or of any class of aliens, so any aliens, any class of aliens, into the United States, so the entry of people into the United States, let's say, just to be precise, of aliens into the United States. So any time whenever the president finds that the entry of any alien or any class of aliens into the United States would be detrimental to the interests of the United States, right? So if I find as president that a person or a group of people will be detrimental to the interests of the United States, and certainly there's lots of examples that we have, but you shouldn't even have them necessarily, he may be, and he may, by proclamation, and for such period as he shall deem necessary. Now, the only mistake is they should have said he or she. But hopefully it won't be a she for at least another 7 years. After that, I'm old. See? I just noticed that, actually. Just noticed it. I'm saying, whoa, this is not politically correct. It's correct, but it's not politically correct. You know, this is the old days. He may, by proclamation, and for such period as he shall deem necessary. So here it is. People coming in. Suspend the entry of all aliens. Right? That's what it says. It's not like, again, a bad high school student would understand this. Anybody would understand this. Suspend the entry of all aliens or any class of aliens as immigrants or non-immigrants. Or impose on the entry of aliens. Okay, so you can suspend the aliens, right? You can suspend the aliens from coming in. Very strong. Or impose on the entry of aliens any restrictions he may deem to be appropriate. Okay. So you can suspend, you can put restrictions, you can do whatever you want. And this is for the security of the country, which, again, you're the chiefs, you're the sheriffs. You understand this. And I listened to lawyers on both sides last night, and they were talking about things that had just nothing to do with it. I listened to a panel of judges, and I'll comment on that. I will not comment on the statements made by certainly one judge. But I have to be honest that if these judges wanted to, in my opinion, help the court in terms of respect for the court, they do what they should be doing. I mean, it's so sad. They should be, you know, when you read something so simple and so beautifully written and so perfectly written, other than the one statement, of course, having to do with he or she. But when you read something so perfectly written and so clear to anybody, and then you have lawyers and you watched, I watched last night in amazement, and I heard things that I couldn't believe. Things that really had nothing to do with what I just read. And I don't ever want to call a court biased, so I won't call it biased. And we haven't had a decision yet. But courts seem to be so political. And it would be so great for our justice system if they would be able to read a statement and do what's right. And that has to do with the security of our country, which is so important. Right now, we are at risk because of what happened. General Kelly is an extremely talented man and a very good man. Now Secretary Kelly, Homeland Security. We are doing our job. He's a great man. We're doing our job. And one of the reasons you probably heard that we did it so quickly, I said, let's give a one-month notice. And then law enforcement, and General Kelly was so great because he said, we totally knew about it. We knew about everything. We do things well. We did things right. But the law enforcement people said to me, oh, you can't give a notice. Because if you give a notice, you're going to be really tough in 1 month from now or in 1 week from now. I suggested a month. Then I said, well, what about a week? They said, no, you can't do that, because then people are going to pour in before the toughness goes on. Do you people agree? I mean, you know more about law than anybody, law enforcement. So I wanted to give like a month. Then I said, well, what about a week? They said, well, then you're going to have a whole pile of people, perhaps, with very evil intentions coming in before the the restrictions. So there it is, folks. It's as plain as you can have it. I didn't, and I was a good student. I understand things. I comprehend very well, okay? Better than, I think, almost anybody. And I want to tell you, I listened to a bunch of stuff last night on television that was disgraceful. It was disgraceful. Because what I just read to you is what we have. And it just can't be written any plainer or better. And for us to be going through this, and by the way, a highly, highly respected judge in Boston ruled very strongly in our favor. You heard that. In fact, I said to my people, why don't you use the Boston case? And there were reasons why they couldn't use the Boston case. This one came later, various reasons. But use the Boston case. And I won't read that, but there were statements made by that judge who, again, highly respected, that were right on. They were perfect. They were perfect. So I think it's sad. I think it's a sad day. I think our security is at risk today. And it will be at risk until such time as we are entitled and get what we are entitled to as citizens of this country, as chiefs, as sheriffs of this country. We want security. One of the reasons I was elected was because of law and order and security. It's one of the reasons I was elected. Also, jobs and lots of other things. But I think one of the strongest reasons is security.
That was President Trump. He was about to give a speech to the sheriffs and chiefs of police, but he wanted to address by reading the relevant law. And he's right. But you can be right, yet where do we stand right now? What the Ninth Circuit did was let stand a temporary restraining order on the implementation of what's been called a ban on travel. Actually, it's a pause for a period of 90 days if you're a traveler coming to this country. And the countries are Libya, failed state, Syria, failed state, it's in civil war, Iraq, civil war, the leading terrorist nation in the world, the Islamic Republic of Iran, Yemen, again, a civil war, the Sunnis fighting the Shia, Somalia, failed state, and the Sudan. Now, why these countries? Did he pick them? No. Who picked these countries? Congress and President Obama. It's not like he randomly picked them. And now what the lying lunatic left and their allies, the big lie media, oh, he wants to ban all Muslims. No, there's something like there are over 50 countries. I think it's 56 that are Muslim countries. There were the majority of Muslims. He's picked seven out of those. More than 85% in terms of people still can come here. It doesn't apply to. So it is narrowly drawn, and it's targeted, as it should be. And the president has this. That's the law, folks. And in terms of foreign policy, the president in this situation dominates. Not three judges in a Ninth Circuit. Now, you need to understand that the merits of the case have not been decided. And the question is, how will the Trump administration proceed? Many law professors, experts, people that have tried cases amongst the Supreme Court. What I'm hearing, there is a difference of opinion how to proceed, but several have recommended rewrite the executive order and get it as perfect as you can. Because remember, this was somewhat done in a rush. We didn't have a U.S. Attorney General. It could have been coordinated a lot better. And now they've learned from some mistakes that they made, and they didn't explain it. The biggest mistake I think they made, but they quickly corrected it, and I'm saying it again because a lot of people don't understand this. Initially, it was thought that this applied to green card holders abroad, namely people who have permanent legal residence in the United States. And they quickly said, no, that was not our intent. So they modified that and gave instructions, and within 24 hours, that significant oversight was cured, if you will. Now, I support the president in that. A lot of people don't support him. And I would make it permanent until such time that these nations are peaceful. Now, they're not fighting civil wars and engaged in terrorist activity. See, the problem is this. We keep talking about vetting, extreme vetting. I prefer vigorous vetting. What's the problem with these countries? And the FBI director said it. There's no real database. We can't vet them. Did you hear that? We literally cannot vet them. There's no way to give any assurance that the person is who he says he is and has not been involved in terrorist activities. There's just no way. We're not living in the United States where you can do background checks and vetting, because many of these places are war zone. There's a civil war going on in Syria, for sure, in Iraq, Yemen, and it's not the responsibility of the president to convince three circuit judges, for the simple reason he's president of the United States, was elected president of the United States, and has the responsibility to protect the citizens and the property of the United States. We elected him to make these kind of judgments and decisions, which he did, and he moved out on it. And I don't think that's a mistake. Okay, you have a lot of people that are new on the job, and you can always improve, and they're going to improve. Like the president said, you don't have to be a genius. A high school grad should be able to understand the law. That's the president's authority, as well as the United States Constitution. It's not the judiciary, but you see, we have, I call them the lying lunatic left. This country is divided. Let me make this very, very clear. The United States of America, after 8 years of the great divider, is divided. He succeeded. His legacy is he divided this country. And in the process, he crippled, if not destroyed, the Democratic Party. They have lost over 1,000 offices, federal and state, and governors. Will they come back? Who knows? And I frankly don't care. I hope they never come back, by the way. I'm not for a single party. I still believe you're not going to get fundamental change that really matters until you have a viable new political party that truly believes in a representative republic under the United States Constitution, and it's a limited government, not a government and a military that you need for an American empire. Because as governments get bigger and bigger and bigger, what happens? They get corrupt. And we have, and this is nothing new, we've always had corruptions to varying degrees. Some would say it was worse in the past. I don't think it was worse. It was just different. It was more direct. They just gave you money in an envelope or a suitcase. Here it's a little more subtle, but you're getting campaign contributions, and that keeps them in power for decades. And that's part of the problem. At one time, I was not for term limits. Now, I think it should be term limited. And I'd keep it very simple. You can serve 12 years in the Senate, in other words, two terms, and you can serve 12 terms in the House. Not 12 terms, 12 years in the House, or six two-year terms. And then you're out. It's very much up and out. And that would improve the situation, because then they would be forced to what? Do their jobs. They know in 12 years, they got to leave, just like Obama had to leave after 8 years. We did that after FDR, Franklin Roosevelt, got four terms. Oh, he got what he wanted, but he killed himself in the end. Now, where do the American people stand on this? There have been polls, and the American people, and I'm not talking about approval or disapproval. I'm talking this specific issue. The majority of American people are with the president on this. Now, there's about a third, it varies from poll to poll, but about a third are against them. In my mind, that's the lying lunatic left. They have a base, even though they lost the election, many elections, they still have a base. You'll get an argument as how big the size of it is. I think it's more towards 25% to 35%, but you can accuse me of being biased. I don't think they're as powerful as they think. And if they keep doing what they're doing, trying to obstruct, delay, they already have plans to try to impeach President Trump. That is their game plan for the next 4 years. Go at it, folks. Go at it. See if it works. You see, what are they really afraid of? And they are afraid. They're afraid Donald Trump is going to succeed. And what I mean by that, increase the growth of this economy from a meager 2% to double it to 4 or higher. Now, it's not going to happen overnight, but if the end of 4 years of Donald Trump, the economy is booming, we're growing at 4, 5, 6%, the unemployment rate is approaching or under 3%, and we do have fundamental real tax reform, and maybe it could be the fair tax. I haven't given up on that, by the way. I have my version of it, which I think is very sellable and truly would get the U.S. economy growing at those rates. So I'm not giving up on it for the simple reason I know Vice President Mike Pence Pence at one time was a big supporter of it. And he's, by education, a tax attorney. So I haven't given up, and supposedly in 3 weeks or less than 3 weeks, we'll know. So that's the fear, and that's why you're seeing these protests. These protests across the country were not spontaneous. Far from it. They were arranged, organized, and you're going to see more of it. They're in very much deep denial. I think they're making a fundamental mistake. That's why I encourage them. Protest all you want, because the more you protest, the American people see you as the problem, not President Trump. It'll backfire royally. And then the midterm election, it could be a rout. And then maybe some reason or rationality will come back into the Democratic Party. I'm not so sure about that. See, the Democratic Party, for the last, since McGovern, has moved further and further and further to the left. It is not the Democratic Party of my father or grandfather. It is a progressive socialist party, a welfare statist party. Now, after quickly saying that, to a lesser degree, that's what's happened to the Republican Party. They have moved to the left. Not as far, not as fast, but they're there. That's why I remind people, if you're a conservative or a libertarian, the Republican Party has never been a conservative party. It's never been a libertarian party. And it's largely been controlled from the East Coast. Now, that's somewhat changed. And that's why the leadership, I don't have faith in the leadership of the Republican Party. Not anymore. They've disappointed. They've had more than enough chances. That's why a number of people, including me, and I'm jumping on the bandwagon on this, because the American people are just as upset. The Republican Party has had 8 years to draft fundamental tax reform bill as well as a repeal and replace bill for Obamacare. What were they doing? I know they were having votes, theater, about repealing it. I gave up at 46. But now, and the excuse they always gave, and I accepted it to a certain extent, but not really. Well, we can't get anything through because President Obama has the presidency. Well, you don't have that excuse anymore. See, what's going on here, career politicians don't want to do the heavy lifting. They don't want to make the hard decisions because they're afraid of the people. And they should be afraid of the people. The people have had it with them. And the big issue is Obamacare, but it is also immigration. And it's also not reining in the courts. And I'll even go further, reining in the president. That fundamentally is why many people have left the Republican Party. They're disgusted with it. That's why I call them rollover Republicans. When Obama was president, the president would say something or want something, and they would roll over. I've lost trust in the Republican Party and its leadership. That's why at one time, many years ago, I left. I said I couldn't see much difference between either party. Now, there are differences. I'm not arguing that. But once the Republicans got control again of the House and the Senate, did they really balance the budget? No. They said, well, in 10 years, we'll balance the budget. Well, they've had several years now, and they haven't balanced the budget, and they're not any closer. And that's when they had the House and the Senate. I've seen this before under Bush. So we're going to see how the Trump administration responds to this. And I really debated whether to have two shows. This is the second show in a row on this, because there are a lot of other things going on. If you're president of the United States, you know that. He signed other executive orders that I'll hopefully cover next week. And I do hope that the administration will take its time, think it out, either amend or redraft. See, they have a number of ways that they can go. They can pull the current executive order and put in place one that can withstand, make it bulletproof in terms of the legality. In other words, the lawyer term is, it's in the document. Four square, I forget the term. In other words, tighten the language so everything is there that should be there. Dot the I's, cross the T's. And if they do that, and that means coordination, it takes a little time. I don't care if it takes a week. But they really need to strategize, get their act together, get it letter perfect, make sure everybody's aboard on this, and then go to court. They have different ways. I think they're going to go back to the original judge that put in the restraining order and lay out in glorious detail why it should be made permanent and proceed from there. That's one approach. And I tend to lean that way. The other is to appeal this to the Supreme Court. Well, right now it's a divided 4-4 court, and I don't think you're going to see the nominee pass the Senate until really sometime in March. And maybe he'll take his seat by April Fool's Day, maybe, maybe earlier. And that's the earliest I could see where it makes sense. There's a problem with that strategy, though. And it's very, very clear he's doing this to protect the American people. We don't want to wait 30, 60 days. That just gives people that are planning to come here that are terrorists time to try to sneak into the country, either legally or illegally. And that's something that needs to be said. More people, I think, are coming here illegally. I'll quickly add, some are coming as students that we don't really know, that they have been radicalized. They're sleepers. Because remember, the immigration problem, the illegal alien immigration problem, is really twofold. Those that come here illegally over the United States-Mexican border, which is probably at least 50% of the problem. They're not all Mexican. They're not all for Central America. The U.S. Border Patrol has a category, OTM, other than Mexican. They're from around the world, including the Middle East and including the countries that he had the temporary ports. I think Donald Trump has had a great start in his terms of his administration. It hasn't been perfect, but he's going strong, and I hope he keeps up the pace. Actually, I hope he increases the pace, because he only has a limited amount of time. And I said this months ago, if he gets elected, he has a minimum amount of time, really a little over a year from the time he takes the oath. Because starting next year, what happens? They're running for re-election, and this is a big election, especially for the Democrats in terms of senators, but also in the House. Everyone in the House is up for re-election. And I think it's very much do or die for the Democrats. If they have another, let's say, route, both in the House and the Senate and other offices across this country, they need to seriously think, rethink their strategy, because the strategy has gotten them in trouble. The American people have finally woken up, because Donald Trump woke them up, that what the Democrats are about and who they favor, and we see it in this by not lifting the temporary restraining order, is they're more concerned about illegal aliens or people from other countries that may be terrorists coming to the United States. The American people resent that, are rebelling against that. So far, peacefully, they want the illegal alien invasion stop. A reasonable request, because it affects jobs, it affects crime, drugs, and yes, the national security of this country. So Donald Trump is moving out. And that's what the American people expected. And so far, he's delivering on his promises. He's had a terrific start, a terrific start. And I congratulate him for it. But remember, his team, his cabinet, most of them just started this week. You might not understand that. They just started this week. And I still think there's a couple. And that's just the cabinet level. There are two key jobs in every department. Obviously, the secretary. But the deputy secretary is important. And many of those have not been approved yet. It usually takes at least 30 days, and many times longer, before you truly have your team, the positions. There are about 4,000 political positions throughout the government. And yes, the Senate is moving as quick as it can. I don't think quick enough, but they're doing okay. The problem is the Democrats are stalling. They're dragging it out. And I think they're hurting themselves. If they want to do that, fine. But Donald Trump is not marching to the tune of either the Democratic Party or the Republican leadership. He's taking charge, and he needs the support of the American people. And that's what your Trump supporters need to understand. I'm not a Trump supporter. Let me quickly say that. I'm not a Democrat. I'm not a Republican. My political philosophy is one of classical liberalism. I believe in limited government, and I'm convinced neither party are for limited government. What we have today is a warfare and welfare state, and both political parties, to varying degrees, support that. And they still have not come to grips with the fact that we're in terrible financial shape, both in terms of the national debt and unfunded liabilities. And many of them don't want to address the problem, don't want to discuss the problem, don't want to talk about the problem, and the big lie media gives them a pass. You see, that's what I'm really looking for, is leadership in that area. And up to now, I haven't heard much except the hiring freeze from Trump. We'll really see if we have a serious president. once he starts addressing that. And that's going to take some time. It's probably the most difficult challenge facing the Trump administration. And the question is he going to address it? He knows he has the problem because his key advisor, one of his key advisors, is Steve Bannon. I know Steve Bannon understands the situation, maybe better than me, although I have my doubts. If we cannot get control, if the federal government doesn't restrain and control government spending, first step is just to get to a balanced budget. And that might take 4 years. Does it need to take 4 years? I would love it if it could be done within a year or two. But knowing the institutions, Congress, the parties involved, 4 years is reasonable, assuming you're start doing something about it right now. And ultimately, you got to close departments and you got to reform welfare. You got to reform entitlement programs. And yes, you got to address defense. And President Trump wants infrastructure. Good luck on that one. Ladies and gentlemen, the Republican Party, in terms of conservatives and libertarians, people that believe in limited government, believe in fiscal responsibility, there's maybe 100 votes there for that in the House and the Senate. And I'm probably a little high. Now, there's some people that would jump on board that if, and here's the big if, the president was leading the charge. I'm not sure he's up to leading the charge. He talks a good game, but he needs to pay attention, and details are important here. But the bigger problem, and it's politics, it's not economics. The economic, in my mind, the economic situation, I won't say easy, but you can spell out the policies that you need to do. It's political, and who's against him? And I know I'm repeating myself, the Democratic Party, the bureaucrats, everyone that works in all those departments, almost everyone, the Republican leadership, big lie media, your television networks, the newspapers, and yes, don't forget the donor-owner class, the people that own and run the United States of America. Some would call it big business. They're the founders and executives of corporations. You see, I want to turn a warfare and welfare state into a peace and prosperity economy. That's what the American people want. But where's the big deficit here? And I mean huge deficit. Bigger than the national debt and bigger than unfunded liability. You're going to be a little surprised with what I'm going to say. It's leadership. You need more than one leader. Now, Donald Trump has selected a very impressive cabinet. He's also selected my first choice for president, Mike Pence, and my second choice for president, although I knew he never would run, former Senator Jeff Sessions from Alabama, now the Attorney General of the United States. I'm glad we have some integrity and character now in that position. And that's what you need. You see, one test of a leader such as President Trump is who he selects to be in his cabinet. He has selected many people that have well-deserved reputations of being leaders and executives. That's what you need. He's not intimidated by them. He wants them. He wants the best people. And that's encouraging. But any president will tell you they make mistakes too. I'm sure amongst those cabinet officials and maybe even the deputy directors of each of these departments, 2 years, 4 years from now, the president will be disappointed. And he's going to have to fire people, ask their resignation. He wants action. The question is it the right action? Is it enough? I've called his tax proposals, both of them, timid. And I have the same opinion of the House proposals. We need to scrap the income tax, replace all federal taxes with one single tax, with a very generous prebate, and that's where you can get into some arguments. If President Trump goes in that direction, two things are going to happen. The American people will support him. There's already a lot of support in the nation for the fair tax, both in Congress, the Senate, and the people. The reason it hasn't passed is it's very simple. You need leaders, and not just one. But the most important one is President Trump. If he supports something else, the broad-based consumption tax, the fair tax, goes nowhere. The legislation is already written. All he would have to do is sign it. I think you can improve it, but that's my opinion. I'm not hung up on the details if it's a broad-based consumption tax with that prebate. See, the argument will be on the rate and the dollar amount of the prebate, which is a check every month for U.S. citizens. So that's what I'm looking forward to hearing about. Now, if he doesn't do it, And like I said, I don't have great expectations for the Republican Party or the, and forget about the Democratic Party. They're sinking. And if they all want to go down with the ship, fine with me. Now, I don't want to be too optimistic. They have a base. I think at best, their hardcore, if you will, is maybe 25% of the electorate. Maybe. But if they keep making the mistakes that they're making now, that could go lower. And we'll see it the next time you'll see it. And it's less than two years away. About 21 months is in November of 2018. So I'll update you probably sometime next week as to what course of action the president and the Trump administration are going to take regarding this temporary pause in travel from these seven countries. What I really think should happen is until these countries have stable governments, they're not in a civil war, they're not a failed state or civil war, and we have little or no terrorism. In other words, it gets back to a stable situation, whatever that is. I would make it permanent pause until then. In other words, if you cannot pass vigorous vetting as well as a background check, assuming that's even possible, then you're not going to get a visa, period. And that's what the American people truly support. President Trump is right. He got elected for many reasons, but one of the reasons was he wanted to make America safe again. And this was his early attempt to do that. And I would have thought it's not very controversial. Controversial for the simple reason over half the people support that. Do you want a terrorist in your neighborhood? I don't. And let me say something. I'm on a college campus, a community college campus, that has several thousand international students from around the world. Many from the Middle East. Several I've been friends with. Some are from the very countries on that list. Yemen, for example. But also Iraq. They are going to be hurt. But excuse me, who comes first here? The American citizens do. Not whether or not you can fill a seat in a classroom with international students. And we're only talking seven countries, and it's temporary. Or it should be for several years. Until those countries and the people of those countries had enough of the radical Islamic terrorists and put them down. And I mean put them down, which means defeat them and destroy them. Am I optimistic in that regard? No, I'm not. I think it'll go on and on and on. You needed to defeat and destroy them, and that starts with the Islamic State. And it shouldn't be the United States doing the destroying. It's the people that created that monster. That's Saudi Arabia, the Arab Emirates, Qatar, and others, and where the United States is partially responsible for creating that monster as a foil against the Assad regime. It needs to be put to rest. It's going to be violent and bloody. And remember, the President of the United States gave the Joint Chiefs, the Pentagon, the responsibility to come up with a plan and present it to them. That is probably, in terms of money, and potential loss of life, American life, as well as the citizens of those countries. The most significant foreign policy decision that Donald Trump has to make. And he might make the right decision and he might not make the right decision. I'm not going to prejudge it. But it would be a mistake to recommit. And there are people pushing this in the military, in Congress, probably in his administration, to re-engage and put 50 to 100,000 troops. That would be a huge mistake. And I don't think he wants to do that. But he does want to focus in on destroying it. But you see, ladies and gentlemen, it's very easy to start a war. Wars are violent, costly. But what you need to think about, and that was the mistake that Bush made when he went into Iraq, how are you going to win the peace? Because you definitely need a counter to who? The Iraqi Shia. You're going to need a Sunni Arab military in those sections of now Iraq, the northern part as well as the western part. You see, ultimately, where I see this going is Iraq's going to be split up into three countries. The Sunni Arabs will be one. The Kurds, who are also Sunni, will be the second. And the current Iraqi Shia regime that controls Baghdad and south, and that's where the oil is. The majority of the oil is in southern Iraq. There is oil, though, in northern Iraq. Ultimately, that's where I see it going. And other people, including Democrats, have suggested that. Joe Biden suggested this. People laughed at him. I didn't laugh at him. The problem is most Americans are not interested in foreign policy. They certainly don't know the history, the religion, the culture, or speak the language. They know next to nothing, and their default is to stay out. Why are we there? And I keep saying that. It's now even more. We have enough energy resources, coal, oil, natural gas. As much as we were dependent on imports, that's no longer the case. We can't, though, just walk away from it like Obama did. We need to support our allies. That's Israel, and that is Saudi Arabia, whether you like them or not, and Jordan, and others, Turkey. But we need leadership. And I get back to that. And it's more than one leader, and it's more than just the cabinet. It's the sub-cabinet positions. A president has to delegate, and he has to delegate to leaders that will follow the policies of this administration. I think they will, if he's chosen wisely. But you need ideas, good ideas, tested ideas. You need tested people, but tested ideas. And there's a lot on his plate. He needs to get tax reform right, but he also needs to get what I think is the overriding problem is government spending is out of control. And bottom line, if you can't solve that problem, and that's what we're talking, it's a problem, a huge problem, then everything else won't work. It won't work. Because that is the fundamental Achilles heel weakness of the United States today. And I'm not seeing any leadership really in Washington that's even talking about it or addressing it. Now, I should be fair. There are some people that have thought about it. But are you hearing anything on the news? Nah. They're afraid. They're afraid of losing their career position. And they know to really address it, it's risky. They might actually not be reelected. Well, I'll tell you something. If they don't do something about it real soon, they won't be reelected. It's time. The excuses and explanations are over. You know, there's a phrase in the 60s, lead, follow, or get out of the way. Unfortunately, many in Congress should get out of the way. But there are just too few leaders that have the vision, the will, the courage, and courage is what's missing here, to do the right thing, the hard thing to do. So thank you for listening. And now my favorite song, America the Beautiful.
My name is Raymond Thomas Pronk, the presenter of the Pronk Pop Show. Views expressed on this show are my own, unless otherwise stated, and do not reflect the opinion of KDUX Web Radio, Richland College, or the Dallas County Community College District. You are listening to KDUX Web Radio, broadcasting live from Richland College in Dallas, Texas, with a voice of Richland College.
You are listening to the Pronk Pop Show, presented by Raymond Thomas Pronk, the People's Paladin Pronk, propagating faith, family, friends, freedom first. Broadcasted by Renaissance Radio, Radiating Reason, and KDUX Web Radio. Podcasted by PronkPops.wordpress.com and KDUX Web Radio.wordpress.com.